Feliz fin de semana.
Feliz fin de semana.
Feliz fin de semana. No tenemos clases y puede.
You looked that up. I saw you looking at a computer screen.
Ooh.
Oh, did you not?
Oh no!
How did you know like the other lyrics? I do not know anything
not,
in Feliz Navidad.
No, there's
Navidad
actually
besides.
Not lyrics.
That wasn't even Feliz Navidad.
No.
What? Oh, you just made it up? There aren't.
No, but she was made up.
No. I was saying my
I
own
believed
lyrics.
You. I was like,
it's Feliz Navidad.
I thought that that was a lyric.
Espero año y felicidad.
Dear Harvard. We're all coming from different places, and we all need to be open to realizing that not everyone's experience is like our own.
Dear Harvard, you never know. You can totally make someone else's day and help someone else relieve that sadness, too.
Dear Harvard, it's not just you. The rest of us out here are struggling just like you.
Good morning, everyone.
We're Dear Harvard. I'm Brandon from Chicago.
I'm Elizabeth from Houston.
I'm Muriel from Massachusetts.
And together we form Voltron. No, but we are the Dear Harvard podcast team, and we're happy to hear all of your confessions, scandalous secrets about summer plans, very very scandalous, and just generally speaking. Anxiety because it's finals time or it's pre-finals time. Finals time is going to be even worse. How have you guys been doing finals wise?
Child, we got 3 papers, 2 projects, you name it, it's there.
Yeah, but they're going to get done. I don't want to say I would prefer a test because I'll probably eat my words when it gets to that again. But yeah, papers will be typed, projects will be done.
Anyway, we're really happy to have you all listening. If you want to send in your own confessions of end of the year debauchery, summer plans, final stress, all that stuff, send it in at tinyurl.com/dearharvard. And I want to remind you, you can send in an audio recording, like record your voice, you know, get that going. Send us that. We want to hear your beautiful voices because, you know, we love our viewers/listeners. Nobody's viewing us. If they were, it'd be very boring. But yeah, please send your confessions in and we'll be happy to give our feedback. Let's crack into these confessions. Dear Harvard, what's the deal with upperclassmen dating first years? Thoughts? They are thoughts. The upperclassmen, I should say. I'm kidding. Come on, it was like, they shouldn't have phrased it that way if they didn't want the joke.
Yeah, the pun was, it was there. It was coming. Thoughts. Like, we're freshmen just turned 18. Some of us aren't 18 yet. So, for people to kind of be like, dating with such a far age gap, like, I understand it because it's legal or whatever, but it's still really weird. Somebody has a train in their background.
That is me. That is my train. Thank
it's
you.
It's, like, going. But, yeah, that's so weird. Like, I feel like as an 18-year-old versus, like, as a 22-year-old, we would be in such drastically different places in our lives. Like, what do they even have in common? Like, what do you even talk about? Because the freshman experience versus, like, the senior experience is so different. That's like, imagine me as an 18-year-old dating a 14-year-old.
Ugh.
It doesn't. I think we're still in such a young formative.
I mean, that
age.
One's illegal also.
That, it's definitely illegal. But like we're such in like a formative stage that like it's not like at the place where you can be like, oh, he's 50, I'm 40. No, like this is still like the age gap where like your age actually matters in terms of like your compatibility with your partner. So if there's like a lot of seniors that are dating freshmen, shame on y'all. And there's probably a reason why the senior girls aren't dating or senior guys aren't dating you.
That is always my first thought. I am like, why are the people in your year not wanting you?
Yeah, people think like, oh, I'm so cool because this upperclassman wants to date me. No, it's just that he got rejected by everyone else in his grade. So he's, well, that not to phrase it like that, but, you know, it basically is like, generally, if you're dating an upperclassman, they're like one of the weirdos. I think, I think it's this question, like, maybe a little vague, this confession. Because, like, upperclassmen, it doesn't just mean seniors. It could be juniors, too. It's definitely a lot less weird than it was in high school. Because, like, even at my high school, there were some seniors who were dating freshmen, and that was way creepy. Like, ugh. I feel like it's at least a little less weird at the college level because we are at least fairly similar in terms of, like, where we're at mentally between 18 and 22 and stuff. I still think it's weird. Yeah, I wouldn't date like a freshman as a senior in college. I also think this was definitely like guaranteed to happen, you know, when they were putting all of the seniors on campus with like a few freshmen and then like nobody else was coming back. They definitely should have foreseen this. I hope nobody's like being harmed by this situation. I'm like, you know, I'm definitely concerned for some of the freshmen on campus, but, you know, hopefully nothing like that's going on. And just generally speaking, I don't know. I think it's a very much case-by-case basis type thing. Overall, it kind of gives me the, you know, the heebies, but it depends, like, on maybe, like, the actual ages of the people involved. Because, like, what if it's, you know, somebody who's, like, a freshman, but they also, like, took a couple gap years? That's way less weird. Have you guys noticed anyone, like, any of your classmates dating, like, old, crusty seniors?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, everyone I know is dating, like, a fellow first year. What's that, Muriel?
No, I would say no. Not dating, at least.
Oh.
Oh.
I think there's definitely been upperclassmen swiping on people they know are not upperclassmen.
That's yikes. I mean, it's like a power dynamic, you know, and it's like a concerning power dynamic in any. I think in any case where like an upperclassman is trying to get with like a first year, they're not as familiar with the campus and like stuff at Harvard, and it's like a recipe for disaster in a lot of cases. So I don't know. If you're a first year listening to this, I guess I don't want to say like watch out for those upperclassmen, but also like definitely be mindful of like your own security and stuff.
Dear Harvard. Feeling overwhelmed right now with so many PSATs, projects, and tests coming up. I know I'll feel fine after all of this is over, but right now it's stressful. Sad emoticon. Aw, baby.
It's also extremely relatable. Like, I'm dead inside this week. I had 4 articles for The Crimson, finishing up my psychology project, finishing up my Gov50 project, writing my expos final essay. It's such a barrel of laughs and fun right now at Harvard College. I feel like the worst part is the fact that so many professors are scheduling their finals not during finals week, but during the week before reading period. That makes so much sense. You know, we have this dedicated week to study for finals, so it makes perfect sense to put finals before that week. It's like the professors who put out recorded lectures on wellness days. You know what? You know what you're doing. They make stuff do on wellness days. You're clearly just like you don't have a lot of respect for your students, and frankly, you know, you're making their lives a living hell. I mean, I'm not having a great time right now, and I'm getting through it. And I think we all just have to get through it. But I do wish sometimes that some professors would be a little more mindful of like their students' needs and mental health.
Yeah, I definitely felt this confession. This entire year really has been like what feels like one big fumble after the next. Like I've had a lot of I struggled this entire semester with my health, with school, different things. I'm trying to like get back on track after like being out of classes and things like that for periods of time. And it definitely can get really overwhelming. It can get really stressful. But I think it's also really important to kind of just keep in mind that it's okay to be overwhelmed and it's okay to feel stressed and that it's not abnormal. And so please, I really hope that you don't kind of feel ostracized or feel, I guess, alone in your worries and concerns. I also want to add that perspective is really, really important. There's this TED Talk that was basically where the speaker of the TED Talk was saying that with stress, and how we all know that like stress has detrimental effects to people's health, a lot of those detrimental health effects or adverse health effects could actually be mitigated by simply reframing how you think about your stress. And he was basically saying that if you see stress as this bad thing, this all-consuming thing, your brain is actually going to feed off of that, I guess, negative thought more so than it's actually feeding off the stress. So it's actually not the stress that caused the stress itself or the stressors themselves that cause the adverse health effects, but rather how you perceive them. So I think that that's also really important to kind of take into consideration when you feel overwhelmed. So kind of rather than going like, oh my gosh, there's all these PSETs, there's all these projects, all these papers, PPPs, you know, kind of, and like, oh, I don't think I'm going to ever get through this. So I don't know how I'm ever going to get through this. Oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed. Rather than viewing it like that, to kind of go back and say like, hey, this is a really busy time. Just because I am really busy does not necessarily mean that I have to feel stressed. That being really busy is a normal part of college culture. It's a normal part of life in general. And I've got this. I've made it through things before and I will make it through this too. And that'll really change how you are able to navigate these feelings and navigate all of your work. Because I definitely had to do that. Like, y'all, I'm going to just be real real because why not? I was 16 assignments behind in all of my classes at one point, and I really honestly didn't know how I was going to get through them, but I was able to kind of like chip at different things every day, reward myself for making my like the progress and making little steps towards getting everything done, and reframing my thought process to not focus on the fact that there was so much work to do, but to sort of focus on the fact that like this was just a result of the different circumstances that I was in this semester. That does not make me any less for it. It doesn't make me any stupider or any slower. It just makes me different. And I think if you're able to kind of take a step back and look at it that way, it might be really helpful in terms of feeling overwhelmed. Also, there's people like me out here who have also been in the same position. If you would like to like talk to anyone about it, I would really suggest doing that. I know Muriel has been my confidant many times. So yeah, find some good support and try and reframe how you see all of this. And I think that that might be helpful.
I totally agree with everything Elizabeth just said. And I'm not sure how you deal with your stress, but I know that when I get stressed and overwhelmed, I shut down. I will not do anything. I'm just like, I'm not doing it. I don't care. Because it's either like crying while doing the PSET or watching anime and pretending it doesn't exist and procrastinating the crying. And I think that one of the best ways to kind of combat any of those stressful situations is to have a set routine in place where you're already taking care of your mental health. Like, not waiting to be stressed and overwhelmed to be like, okay, let me go to CAMS or let me start journaling and meditating, but like taking those action steps before the actual problem arises can help you not have that problem to begin with. Or like building time within your day to go on a walk or talk to friends. Having that confidant, like Elizabeth said, can definitely help. And just like having all those steps already in place so that when life feels like it's going crazy and your brain's mush from too many PSETs, you won't have to think about how to find help or what steps to take because you already have them there.
Yeah, I really can't add anything to that. I think that's a wonderful way to look at, you know, stress and like, to cope. I mean, everybody's different, you know, and if you're really struggling, I would definitely recommend talking to CAMS. You know, I think we say that like every episode, but really it helps a lot. And I mean, it can help a lot. And, you know, we ultimately don't know your individual needs. But generally speaking, you know, just take care of yourself and remember that you are more important than your grades. And it doesn't really matter how well you're doing in class if you're physically dying to keep up with the work.
Also, I know we're at the end of the year and it might feel like it's a little too late to do this, but please reach out to your TFs, your preceptors, your CAs, I don't know what all the other names are. Y'all, I just got to the school. There's Harvard's like 16 got like 90 different acronyms. Names for like Harvard staff. But reach out to them. And if nothing works, reach out to your proctor. And if that doesn't work, reach out to your dean, because you'll be surprised at how much they can actually help you and how especially with your deans and your proctors, how they can actually make, I guess, sort of, let's call it bend to your will, what the other course heads actually get to do. I think if you're in good communication with staff, like, they'll be able to help you when you're feeling overwhelmed, even, you know, with extensions or excuses on assignments completely, or, you know, whatever the case might be. There are a lot of different accommodation processes really happening, especially because of this pandemic. And although Harvard has not 100% been the best at, you know, supporting its students during COVID, there are some really cool tips and tricks that you can learn. One, for example, is the fact that if you talk to your dean, there are some grading lenience policies that are in place to where you could possibly get an extension on certain assignments all the way till July 1st. And I'm only saying this, and I only know this because I've gone through the process of talking to my deans, my proctors, my CAs, my TAFs, and, you know, and all the other names and acronyms above the C. But yeah, I really have done some due diligence. And if you need any help on any of those things, feel free to like contact us. We actually have an Instagram page, so you can send us a DM and I'd be happy to answer.
Dear Harvard, I have summer plans, but I'm not sure if they're up to par, so to speak. I feel like they're not the ideal plans I would have wanted. For a second, I turned into Bella Thorne. I'm so sorry for the way I read that. I feel like they're not the ideal plans I would have wanted, and sometimes I feel that everyone else has more impressive things planned. And with the summer plans I do have, I don't know whether it'll be too much to do or even if the stuff will be useful later on.
Anyone getting deja vu?
I feel like I talked about this last time. Harvard people scare me. They do. I feel like it's really easy to forget that you're going to Harvard sometimes. Like, you're just like doing your work. Oh my gosh, so frustrated. Like, we're all in this collective. We hate schoolwork. We hate college. We're crying over PSATs. And then there are a few moments, like you see elections where these kids make whole websites, or when Harvard goes trending on Twitter and you're like, I'm going to Harvard. And I think like the summer is one of those moments where everyone starts talking about the summer plans and they're like, I'm internshipping for like one of the big three consultant groups, or I'm going to NASA. I'm going to go save the world in some country where I have developed an irrigation system. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, what happens going to the beach? Like, you're sitting here like, I was going to go to the beach, but I am now going to go apply for an internship as well. And like, it's just important to sit there and be like, okay, I'm feeling like I'm not doing enough, or I'm feeling like I should be doing more, but also just finish that sentence. I'm not doing enough in comparison to who? Like, who are you comparing yourself to? Because at the end of the day, if it's not your past self, then stop. You don't need to compare yourself to other Harvard students or what their summer plans are, because everyone's summer is different. Everyone's year was different. Everyone's ugly COVID experience was different. Some people had the luxury of traveling last summer and, you know, still having a relatively normal year, while other people's life just got like overturned. So if you're one of those people who couldn't enjoy last summer, take the summer off. Or regardless if you enjoyed last summer and this was a hard year for you, just take the time off, enjoy what you're doing. I don't know why you would apply for something that you don't like, but hopefully you enjoy that work experience. And if you don't, like, there's no shame in just being like, hey, like, this isn't the right job opportunity for me right now. And you're allowed to pull back and just relax and rejuvenate. I don't know what year you're in, but I'm assuming that you're coming back. So don't burn yourself out too quickly.
Hey, listen, speak for yourself, Muriel. I'm going to find the cure for cancer this summer. So yeah. Yeah. No, seriously though. Spot on, like, everything. I feel like, a lot of Harvard pressure to do the craziest stuff this summer, you know, get the hottest internship, be the biggest McKinsey fanboy in the entire university, or maybe Goldman Sachs, I don't know. But generally speaking, you know, just chill. Like, and honestly, you know, most of our listeners are first years, so odds are it doesn't really matter if, like, this is not the internship that's going to define your entire career path. As long as you're exploring something that you're interested in, that you wanted, like, that you like, that you enjoy, and maybe you think it's like doing good in the world as well, you know, that's amazing. That's totally enough. You shouldn't feel pressure to chart out your entire professional career while, you know, you're still an 18-year-old, which is pretty insane. And I understand a lot of people at Harvard might disagree with that, or at least a lot of Harvard parents. But no, I mean, I would say just live your best life this summer. Make fun plans, you know, now that once you're fully vaccinated, and spend time with your friends that you haven't gotten to see in like literally a year. It's not about being the best there ever was, you know, going to catch all the Pokemon and all that. It's just like, have fun and enjoy yourself and relax. And I feel like we have to tell you guys this literally every week.
And I also understand, like, a lot of these things are, like, much easier said than done. So it's just really going to be, like, practicing not comparing yourself to other people. And practicing embracing the calm. Like, your life doesn't have to be bustling and busy 24/7. I think that that's something that I also really struggle with. Because I was like, dang, I'm not doing anything this summer. Like, I felt really bad about it. And so I'm trying to practice what Muriel said, which is just really comparing myself not to other people, but like my past self, and taking into account what my experience this semester has been, and that a girl can be exhausted and rest over the summer. But someone in one of the sections of my class actually talked about this today, and she was saying that a lot of her other friends were like doing all these big things, going to, like, I don't know if you can travel yet, but like going across the world to go save the children and, you know, build hospitals and fund things and start hedge funds and, you know, whatever the people do in the summers nowadays. I don't know. And she was saying that all she wants to do in the summer is go hiking. And she was like, it's been really hard to not give in to the Harvard culture of going and doing a lot of things in the summer. But like, because of COVID, like, she hasn't been outside the way she would like to. And so she wants to take this summer to really do that. And I thought that was really, really cool, because a lot of us have been putting this, like, versions of ourselves that are in this moment on hold for a version of ourselves that hasn't yet come. And what I mean by that is, like, a lot of us are foregoing our present and not being in the moment now in order to ensure or try to ensure that our futures are going to be a lot brighter. And I think that while that's important, it's important to keep your goals in, you know, in view and not to forego them completely. You don't want to let your life fly by and realize that you were always chasing something and never got to appreciate where you were now. So it does sound like you've already got something going that you could possibly do this summer. But if you really don't like it, I don't feel compelled to have to do it. Don't feel like you're not up to par, because I'm sure even the person that is going across the world to save the children and build hospitals and start the hedge funds, I'm sure even they don't feel up to par. So really, what are you comparing yourself to?
Dear Harvard, sometimes I feel like busy culture is really getting to me. Like, there are so many things I'd want to get involved in, but of course, that doesn't work due to limited time. But if so many other people are able to manage doing so many things, like their Google calendars are intimidating, then I feel like I should be able to do that as well. I don't feel overwhelmed yet, but I'm worried I might try to do too much if I add things to my plate. Well, I want to caution you, Anonymous. No one at Harvard has ever put too many things on their plate. Never happened. No, not a Harvard student. Totally not me signing up for like 20 different clubs at the beginning of the semester and then dying inside halfway through. Seriously, though, I would, you know, respect yourself. This is very similar, I feel like, to the message of the last question, in that you need to stop comparing yourself to the other people at the school. Because first of all, some of them are like, you know, super rich. And so they've had quite a bit more opportunities to kind of develop all of these, you know, time management skills. Like, I come from, you know, a small public school and a very, you know, not well off family. Let's just say my time management skills aren't amazing. Neither are my standard cleaning skills, but that's kind of another discussion. Overall, I would say that, you know, you should do what feels important to you, and you should take the classes that you want to take. Don't take six classes. I know one person who's doing that, and I don't know how they survive. Don't join 20 clubs. Just join the ones you're really passionate about and that you can guarantee that you can invest in. Because, like, the only people you're hurting, I mean, you're hurting yourself, but you're also hurting the other people in the club when you're, like, you know, committing to it and you can't actually put in the work because you're, like, also in 20 other things. So I would say, you know, out of empathy for others and empathy for yourself, just keep an eye on, like, what you can actually handle during the year. Don't worry about what other people are doing regarding the busy culture. Just do what you can do. Do what you want to do.
What really stood out to me about this confession was the Google Calendar part.
Yeah, GCALs at Harvard are intimidating.
A Google Calendar can look so intimidating just by only putting in your classes. And some of these people will put in, like, time to read, like, time to sleep, dinner date with someone. Like, at first glance, it may look intimidating, but it's probably just like, I'm going to the bathroom at this time. Like, you just never know what's actually on there sometimes.
I do actually have my sleep time on GCal, although, like, I never actually follow it. Like, I'm always just shaming myself at, like, midnight or something, like, go to sleep. I'm like, ha, yeah. Yeah, likely story there, bud.
Right. Like, I have, like, my workout times and the times that, like, I would prefer to be doing homework. Never follow them. They're just there. They're nice reminders here and there, but I don't know. I think that busy culture is being inflated right now by COVID and not being able to go out as much. But, you know, once we have to start calculating transportation time and stuff, like, I just don't see people being able to do as much as they're doing right now, where, like, people are on multiple boards for things. Meetings are at 5 and 6. Or, like, maybe, like, even 2 meetings at once. You cannot do that in person. You are one being, can't be at 2 places at once, you know? I think busy culture right now is just a part of social media telling everyone that quarantine is the optimal time to be your best self and blah, blah, blah. If you're not starting a business or getting into stock trading, you're a failure, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, it's unrealistic. I think you're really lucky if your GCal looks normal and you have enough time in the day to relax and just be by yourself and something to cherish instead of trying to, you know, make yourself go crazy.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think these GCALs look intimidating now? Wait until you have to walk from building to building between them. I don't know how I'm going to manage. I was always late to everything, like, not necessarily in high school, but, like, in life. Especially when I, like, had a, I was, like at my grocery store job, I had to drive like a maniac because I would always like get dressed at the last minute like a very dumb person. And I don't know, like, I've always been super bad at time management. I don't understand it. I'm hoping that's something I can improve, but it's like, it feels like that's something that's really hard to work on. You know, it's like, I'm just inherently a procrastinator, and it's like, I'm surviving definitely the year. Like, I get my assignments done on time at the last minute, but it takes a toll on you, like, physically and mentally.
I think one solution is kind of having self-compassion and, like, thinking about that toll that it's going to take on you and how stressed you feel in the moment and, like, you know, like, what you're putting yourself through when you procrastinate like that. Like, I'm still going to procrastinate even though I'm saying this, but
yeah, I was going to say, I do not have self-compassion. I'm like, hey, future Brandon, it's going to suck for you.
Yeah, I feel like it's really hard to, especially like a lot of Harvard students, like what were we talking about with the last question as well, like just like comparing yourself to others and not feeling like you're ever doing enough. Just, I don't know, sit down, write about all of your amazing accomplishments. That was really hard to say. And like think about everything you've done so far. And also, like, I don't know, like sometimes you say that to someone and they're like, well, I got into Harvard. I'm doing good in my classes. I'm blah, 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 blah. But the common theme seems to be like these things where someone else is accepting you or someone else is giving you a grade. And it's not things like, I woke up today and I was a good person. Like, how are you choosing to measure your value as a person? I think that's an important way to think about things. Like, you're definitely not more valuable because you're being really productive or you're having a busy day. And it's important to recognize that even on the days where you just stay in bed, you are still amazing. You've still done so much, and your lazy days don't define you. And also, you cannot have a busy day without having some sort of rest before. So, like, give yourself that time.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to episode number 9 of Dear Harvard. We're so glad to have you listening. If you want to add any confessions of your own, send them in. We would love to hear them about this horribly stressful finals period and your self-care or lack thereof. Definitely send that in at tinyurl.com/dearharvard. tinyurl.com/dearharvard. We would love to hear anything you're thinking right now. That's pretty much all I have. But again, thank you so much for listening. And we'll hopefully see you next week, you know, schedules allowing. Until then, Brandon,
Elizabeth,
and Muriel.
Hasta la vista, baby.